American Express has a strong tradition of listening to our customers, and I would argue we have done that over the last 170 years.
Hello and welcome to the Financial Experience Podcast. Thank you for joining the podcast completely devoted to the fintech and financial services sector, telling the stories of the people and the companies who are changing the financial world. I'm here with Mindy Davidowski, SVP of Acquisition, Products, and Platforms for American Express. Mindy, it is great to have you on the Financial Experience Podcast. How are you?
I am doing very well, and thank you very much for asking me to join you today. I'm very excited to talk about this.
I am too. You have a lot of history at Amex, and you've seen the evolution there over the last decade plus, I believe. So let's start with a little bit of your background and kind of your purview, and then I want to dive into all the things that are happening, which I know there are a lot.
Yes. So I have been at American Express now for over 10 years, and most of that time has been spent in product. And one of the interesting, you know, there are many interesting things in my role, but one of the highlights has really been helping to drive the delivery transformation from waterfall to scaled agile. Within my remit today, my team supports the full acquisition funnel. So starting right at the top with driving consideration through performance marketing, through to our shopping and application experiences, and then all of the information orchestration that happens to ensure that what you provided us makes its way to the right system such that we can fulfill on that new account that you just applied for. So that all sits within my team today. My team is globally dispersed. So we are primarily across the US, the UK, and India, but we are present in more markets than just that. And we have a variety of expertise on our team. So we've got a lot of digital product strategy and management. We've got user experience research and design, and then we also have product operations and some data management and oversight that sits within our team.
And I've always admired American Express's ability to manage all the choices. So I'm sure you've dealt with this in your career there thus far. And I've always been fascinated by just how you all dealt with all the choice. And so you can literally go to the website and experience it as a consumer looking for a credit card or more. Now, it's always been a delicate balance between how much information to show versus not overwhelming a customer. How do you identify what they want and kind of give them what they want? And so as you've launched yet a new product in the mix, and I don't even know how long it's been now, but a consumer checking account to the American Express cardholder, specifically the members there. What's that experience been like? You know, now that you've launched this new product set, this new suite of services in the mix of already what was a fairly robust portfolio, I'm just curious the impact on customer experience and what's that launch been like for you?
Yeah, that's one of the most exciting parts of launching a product that expands our portfolio in this way. And so I will say that there are a team of amazing people working on this. And so we have a combination of our marketing team, who's really bringing a lot of the information on the product itself, on the value proposition, and on the really exciting features and benefits that Amex Rewards Checking offers. And then where a lot of our user experience team comes into play is they'll help to look at two things. So one is the information architecture that sits behind that specific information and then how it structures into the shopping experiences that we offer across our broader suite of product offerings. And then the second thing is they'll really ensure that the information is phrased in a way that is clear, that motivates moving on to the next logical step in the shopping journey, and that it fits into how we're talking about the broader product offerings and benefits within them. So there's quite a balancing act. And then once you get out of that specific content, you know, one of the things I will say is that whilst we always want to ensure we're bringing, you know, very fleshed out and robust new product offerings to our customers, we really embrace test and learn. And so we will go in with a hypothesis on how customers will find and our card members will find their way to this particular product. We have a strong hypothesis on what good looks like. And we also are quite clear on where we think we need more information. And we structure quite a few tests as we roll out the digital content within our broader shopping experience to make sure that what we think is going to happen happens, that where we needed more data, we're getting it. And we iterate constantly. So as that information comes in and we gut check our assumptions and our hypotheses, we're then able to keep iterating on that journey.
And would you say that, because this is always interesting to me, my company has a many, many financial institutions as clients, and the testing culture is not always an integral part of those organizations. Mm-hmm. It's just culturally just not there. So I guess I'm curious about, has Amex always been that way, or did that evolve over the years as you digified so many things in your customer experience? Just curious about the evolution of testing in particular.
So it's a little bit of both. I think that as we have gotten exponentially more sophisticated and frankly agile, we've been able to do much more iterative testing and learning. And so we're more comfortable on releasing experiences that are obviously, you know, very high quality and robust, but where we do want to get some more information. I do think American Express, relative to some of the older financial institutions, has always had the benefit of being highly digital. So we don't have that huge bricks and mortar banking presence. And so we've always probably been a little bit more conversant in test and learn. But yeah, we've certainly gotten a lot better at it. And I would say much more sophisticated over the years, and probably have really seen a step change, I would say, over the last 6 to 8 years in our ability to both deploy tests, but then also to do something about those tests in a way that feels both timely, but also, you know, is really sensitive to all of the controls and quality checks that we do have in there for obviously very good reasons.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The other thing that I found interesting over the course of the history of Amex is there is an air of exclusivity to it, not in the sense of, mm-hmm. oh, we exclude people from being part of this, more so when you get the card or when you become the member, you know, it opens up a world of possibilities and whatnot. And so as you've launched this, you know, consumer checking product and whatnot, and you've held it within, I think it's still within the card holding members, exclusive to them, I'm curious as to the decision around that and why you're intentional about that and why that matters, as opposed to, as again, you refer to legacy financial institutions, other financial institutions where the floodgates are like, we'll accept anybody and everybody, depositors, you know, welcome. And just curious about the thinking behind that and how you guys maintain that balance.
So American Express has a strong tradition of listening to our customers. And I would argue we have done that over the last 170 years. And the American Express Rewards checking account is really a next step for us on listening to our card members. And so one of the big reasons that we have launched this is because we feel that our card members' best interests are met. Their needs are uniquely well met by us in launching this product. So with that, and that was the motivation behind launching it. Now, with that said, we are obviously monitoring the performance of the product itself, but also all of the journeys that surround it really closely. We're learning from the insights that come from that. And we will continue to evolve the product and the journeys and touch points that are part of the product you know, iteratively, constantly over time. And so if we do see that there's really strong interest beyond card members, and if we believe that we can meet that need and tap into that interest in a way that really preserves the quality of the experiences that we strive to offer every day, then, you know, that's certainly something that we may well think about. But right now, that impetus was really looking at unmet needs within our card member base and meeting them where we are uniquely well-placed to do so.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. And it, when you, I mean, you talk a lot about journeys, and I can picture that you have mind maps and all kinds of crazy logic trees that you look at every day with teams and whatnot. I imagine the journeys get fairly complex from a operational standpoint. And for a lot of the people out there who are frankly thinking about automation and, you know, how to maintain journeys and how to keep data hygienic and all these kind of things that bubble up now in this style of communication, this style of acquiring customers digitally. I imagine it's fairly complex at Amex, and I'm curious about the maintenance of it and how you've not only automated the journeys themselves and the communication within those, but even kind of the maintenance aspect of validating and checking back and quality assurance and all the things that come with maintaining many, many different customer journeys.
Yes, we do spend a lot of time on that. And so, you know, I would say that there are obviously many things that we strive to be exceptional at, but two of the ones that sit front and center for me every day are, number one, offering the best customer experience that we can to our members. And number two is demonstrating repeatedly that we have our members' backs. And data, high quality, robust, and really well monitored data is a really core ingredient in both of those. But to the point that you made, it is structured in a way at American Express that I think does justice to the complexity of how to manage that. But we do have within our team, just as an example, a set of individuals whose main remit is to ensure that we have really strong data management and oversight processes in place, and to ensure that those processes are functioning as intended, and to drive continuous learning, you know, where we see someone approaching data management in one journey in a new way, we learn from that and can roll out some of those learnings across other journeys or, you know, data applications, if you will. So we do have a team that's in place specifically to look at these things, and they operate within the purview and guidance of our chief data office. And I think the second thing that we do is we also are continuously stress testing the controls that we have in place around both the data and the journeys themselves that for our team at least kind of produce this data. And so we're continuously evaluating those controls to ensure that all of the major milestone moments in both data usage and where someone is interacting with us, potentially data creation, are well managed and functioning smoothly and seamlessly.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it sounds like you guys have been really intentional about structure, people structure, specific to data as well. And that seems like an area that everyone continues to try to work towards for sure.
Absolutely.
Do you have any thoughts on how you all, I'm not too familiar with this, but you know, everyone's battling with when and where and how to prioritize fintech investments. And fintech by definition is usually some type of fairly newer company focused on customer experience or some intelligent solution. Maybe it's a data enhancement solution of some sort, but fintech tends to be synonymous with that world now. Yeah. I'm curious about Amex's approach to that. Everything from buy now, pay later to budgeting tools to auto investing, these are all disruptive fintech companies out there, you know, disrupting these traditional spaces. And curious about Amex's point of view on that and how you guys think about building versus buying in your culture
Yeah, so I'll answer this in two ways. And one is a bit of a non-answer, which is that we do have an entire corporate strategy and investments team that really leads on some of those questions from the perspective of either outright acquisitions or, in a lot of instances, investments in funding rounds. And so they will definitely be best placed to answer the broader strategy that we employ in those areas. From my team's point of view, in the acquisition space, there are quite a few instances where we do need to leverage third parties in order to move someone through the account opening process. And one of the more probably readily understandable examples in the US would just be doing things like checking your credit report when you're applying for a charge card, if you will. So that's one very frequently used third-party integration. In some of our international markets in particular, there are some government-owned integrations, databases effectively, that the government asks us to integrate with to do things like verify that you are who you say you are. So there are a lot of different examples in which we would need to integrate with third parties. And there are some situations in which we would want to integrate with third parties. So I think, you know, if you've opened up any accounts digitally recently, financial accounts specifically, there are services out there like Yodlee or Plaid that will let you, you know, in the process of applying for one financial account, query another existing financial account. And that can help with things like fraud checks or credit risk checks, or, you know, in certain instances, verifying your identity or meeting other government regulations, mostly in non-US markets. And so there are a lot of reasons that we would need to partner with third parties across the value stream, but in particular in onboarding and in acquisition. And I think from our team's perspective, again, we're not engaged in investment decisions or in acquisition decisions in a really continuous way, but we do ensure that we're keeping a constant pulse on which fintechs are out there and really disrupting the data landscape, if you will, or the acquisition landscape more specifically, such that it can help to meet needs of our customers better. And maybe one other example that I can give in this space is actually Nova Credit. So we often will see individuals applying for an American Express product in one country, having recently moved to that country from another country. And there are sometimes challenges in those moments where, you know, let's say I myself moved from the UK to the US a number of years ago, and my husband has never lived in the US. And so in that instance, you know, he wanted to open a credit account, had a very healthy, longstanding credit history in the UK, but that doesn't transfer over to the US. And so in the US, he appeared to be a thin file applicant. And so services like Nova will actually let us use the credit history that you might have built up in country A when you're applying for an account with your new country residence, being country B. It's evolutions like that that we really try and keep an eye out for, because in that instance, there's an entire segment of our prospect base that we are now able to much more helpfully serve and meet the needs of in a way that, you know, manages our own credit risk, quite frankly. But we're able to really proactively serve those individuals now. We're using the traditional sources of data or even our own internal sources of data. We might not have been able to decision you responsibly given the information that may or may not have been available.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating example and great insight how one particular API or a different kind of view of credit globally in that case can unlock an entirely new segment for you. So that's really fascinating. And that actually rolls into the next question really well, which is given the complexity of API sometimes or the different calls or the different places you have to send or receive data, in your world, what do you think defines a great account opening experience moving into an onboarding experience? Just what have you seen high level? Maybe it's an unfair question given how many different segments and circumstances there are, but in all your learnings over the years, what do you think makes those account opening and onboarding experiences so good when they are good? Because frankly, I see a lot of bad ones still out there.
Yeah. You know, I reserve the right to change my answer to this question if you ask me again in 6 months' time. But I would say seamless, but visible and transparent. And I think that we strive, and I'll add another one, which is secure. And I'll add my last one, which is accessible. And I think those are all equally critical, equally critical. So I think we want to be able to leverage what we should know about you in a way that doesn't put an imposition on our prospects to tell us information that they would expect us to have, you know, especially if you're an existing card member and you're, you know, adding another account. If you expect us to know certain bits of information about you or be able to reasonably get it, then we want to ensure that we can without putting the burden on you. And we want to ensure that you understand at every given point in the process, A, that you're in a process, and B, that we are either asking for information on you or leveraging information sources in a way that is transparent to you and that you are comfortable with and consent to. And then if we move into the secure and the accessible, always equally important, we want you to know that you are working with American Express when you are. We want you to be in an environment where, be operating in a digital environment where you feel safe providing the information that we are asking you for. And if you have questions about why that information, or how are you protecting this, or what are you going to do with it, the answers to those questions are easily available to you. And we want to ensure that individuals who are operating in a variety of contexts and with a varying set of cognitive abilities are able to get all of that to the same degree. So I want you to be able to approach our onboarding experiences and have the same ability to progress through that, with transparency, with security, and with troubleshooting ability. Either if something goes wrong or surprises you, or if you have questions before you progress on to the next step, we should be able to answer those equally across our users.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to answer. And I think you did a really, really good job. And all those things you mentioned, unfortunately, many times only one or two of those is addressed in financial institutions, especially even in a lot of the fintech solutions today. So you are dead on there. As you look out, and to wrap up our interview, as you look out next 2, 3, 4 years, both at Amex in your role and maybe in the larger financial services space as well, of course, pundits and people in this space believe Amex is going to continue to expansion strategy into other deposit products and small business. But outside of divulging your strategic goals, you know, what's getting you excited about the progress you guys are making? And also maybe at a macro level, what's happening in the industry overall?
Yeah, I mean, I'll answer this from an onboarding specific perspective, which is I am really very excited about the forward strides that we are able to make in inclusivity, and specifically in leveraging, again, transparently and securely leveraging a broader set of data sources that will allow us to meet the needs of individuals that maybe historically would have been less straightforward to onboard onto a new account. And again, Nova is just one of many examples of how we can do this. And there are also just significantly more opportunities that we have. You know, if I shift gears into our business banking onboarding, account onboarding, being able to leverage a variety of resources on your business and your operation can allow us to underwrite new applicants or existing applicants onto new accounts in a much more informed basis. And if you think about the amount of banking opportunity this can unlock for our customers, it can be significant. And I think powering a lot of that is, as we look at how personalization of experiences, of journeys, and of products can really evolve, I think that the opportunity is actually unlimited to ensure that everyone can walk away with the best experience for them, but without having to go down the exact same experience as everyone else before them has gone down, if that makes sense. So I think that we can think much more real time about what it means to tailor a journey to meet your individual needs and help to weed out some of the noise that may be actually value destroying instead of value adding in navigating through to meeting those needs. And I think that when you look at the broader data landscape combined with all of the evolution of the ability to use data real time that maybe we hadn't even thought of as data, it's just a very exciting space. I mean, there are even services today, one of which we are invested in, that can look at how you are entering information into a field on an application, for example. And that can become a piece of data or an input that we can think about as you go through the journey. And so when you think about things like that, you know, really it will unlock a lot of opportunity for us, I think, to continue serving our card members to the best of our ability and offering them those exceptional world-class experiences.
Well said. As a journey-obsessed individual, are you a sticky notes person or are you a journaler or do you have some digital tool of choice where you just like to map out things?
I am a journaler. I used to really lean into digital and I have all of a sudden re-embraced, you know, sticky notes to an extent, but really journaling and pulling. I literally will take pictures and then print them out. I really like a journey and stick them into my journal. I love it. So
I'm telling you, it's a thing. It is absolutely a thing. People go back to after you've worked in the digital world for some time, I constantly hear people going back to just the physical, tactile. Yes. I need to write on something. I need to feel it out. I need to literally put it on a piece of paper. And I love, you know, people always make fun of the grandparents for like, you didn't have to print the web page off mom or dad, you know, but it's like, no, now even I do that too. Now I'm just like, I need it. I need to see it and hold it.
I love it. It makes it really real life. And I find it's easier to convene people around new ways of thinking too, when you can actually stick up images onto the wall and have the relevant bits of data just snapshotted underneath it. It makes it so much easier to get up and convene a ton of individuals around thinking through, what does this mean? What do we do with this information? Do we do anything with it or not? Yeah, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
I love it. Mindy Davidowski, SVP of everything at Amex, acquisition, products, and platforms. Enjoy the journey, pun intended. And it's great having you on the Financial Experience Podcast.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed this episode and looking for more? You can find all our episodes, recaps, and information about our guest on financialexperiencepodcast.com. Also, if you'd like to check out the agency behind this podcast, Hi-Fi Agency is a full-service marketing firm completely devoted to the fintech and financial services industries, and you can find us at hifiagency.com. Thanks for tuning in.